Let you look down here at verse 16, Jeremiah 6:16, right? Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. In Matthew chapter 11, and look at two verses there, 28, 29, 30, right? Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to try to give you some things tonight about rest for your souls. Rest for your souls, all right? Father, we thank you so much for your mercies tonight. We thank you for the precious blood, and we ask you to cover and cleanse our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, our motives, our attitudes, Lord. We just pray that you would soak us in thy blood, and Lord, we pray for Brother Hoffman there those that are down there with them, God, around the area there. We pray that you'd protect them, God, keep them safe. Lord, may you bless and enable them to have the meeting there. I pray they'd have a good meeting. Lord God, that you might just get the glory and the honors we sung earlier here. And we'll thank you and give you the praise for it. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Now, these are pretty familiar verses, all right? And there's some similar things in them. I'm sure you picked out both of them. Those two verses there, he talks about finding rest for your soul. And boy, how our world sure needs some rest for their souls, man. You got today, it's awfully unrestful, right? They think anything they got, they don't have rest today. I'm sure even today, you know, you don't have much trouble finding rest for your body. If you've got a nice couch, you know, or you've got a soft bed, you can get some rest for that body sometimes on that. You can get rest for your mind today. One thing that will sure help you get rest for your mind is turn your TV off, right? Just switch that thing off right on that. Some folks like to go to the doctor, right? They want to get some rest. You know, they'll say, give me some pills, you know. But I'm going to tell you to find, you can't take a pill to find rest for your soul. Now, you ain't going to get a pill to do that, except maybe the gospel, right? Brother Roloff used to give the folks right there. Where do you find that kind of rest? Where do you get that? You folks know, I'm sure you know. You know the answer. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We know where to find the rest. Now, I don't see many restful souls today. There's not many folks, I'll tell you, that really know the Lord. And some things I'm going to try to give you here. I want to try to give you some things in these verses. The one, Jeremiah, you know what he says there? Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And the other one we read there in Matthew 11, 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So you've got one verse in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 6:16, and a verse in the New Testament, Matthew 11. And you should notice, I don't know if you've picked that up before, those are the only two verses, folks, in your Bible that specifically have something to tell you about a place. Someone has a place to rest their souls in. Just those two places right there. God gives one in the Old, he gives one in the New. I believe God fixed it like that. I know, Lord, on this amazing book, you know, when he gets that thing, we could... I think he did that so we could get the connection. There's a connection in that thing. You can't miss, you know, you looking at that, you reading that verse right there, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of that thing for rest for your souls, right? Way back there, stuck in Jeremiah, and then over here in Matthew 11, you just look in Jeremiah 6:16, the Lord said, you know, stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk in them. Well, I know this, putting those things together, Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, right? He said there, stand in the ways and see. Well, I know this, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, right? And he came so that men who can't see will be able to see. You talk about the fulfillment of seeing. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, ask, right? Ask for the old paths. And Jesus Christ said, you know, ask in my name. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I give it to you there, and walk therein. Well, after you get saved, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to walk in Christ, and you're walking in him. Those things just fit right in there. And so you see, these two verses, all right, tonight I'm trying Jeremiah 6 and Matthew 11, they're linked together to find rest for your souls. So I just want to point out three things that are found in these verses right here and give them to you, and hope the Lord may bless you and give you some rest, you know, in that thing. One word I want to look at, first of all, in Jeremiah 6:16, and it's that word old. Old. And, you know, as the years are creeping on here, I kind of feel that, you know, getting real close, right? Like I'm getting old, right? You got to remember, though, this is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's connected to rest for your souls, all right? Here he said, ask for the old paths, right? So the old paths, they are linked, I believe, to the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming rest for our souls. That's where you're going to find rest. You and I are going to have to acknowledge in this thing here that there's something about, I think here, finding this rest for our souls, and it is that place that he's talking about, it's old is labeled on that thing, right? A key word. I saw him look at that thing right there. You're told to see and ask for the old paths. Now, I got to say, sadly, when you think about that thing, that is no longer, folks, how it is anymore in many of the churches. Ask for the old paths. Can I tell you, as we get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, there is a conspiracy against old. There's a conspiracy against that thing, and there's an overemphasis on the new. We're just surrounded all the time with new styles, aren't we? You're going to have the newest style, right? You're going to have the newest, what they say, mega churches, right? The new ways to worship, right? That's what's emphasized today. If you talk about on the world, you got churches today, and you know what? They bring in, they want the new, you want the new cool, hip pastors, don't you? They're so cool and they're hip, they can have a ponytail, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And most of them want to get the backdrop. They want to have the lights back there and, fog rolling in, you know, on the things on the stage there. And folks, that's just to wow their audience with. You're going to have the new Bibles, right? Y'all are aware of all that kind of stuff, right? The new music comes in there. Some churches got new female pastors. They got co-pastor females, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's very prevalent, folks. I mean, that ain't just something. I mean, you get more and more and all that kind of stuff. You got the deaconesses coming in, right? I know you ain't got no deaconesses here, right? I'm pretty sure. that, folks, that is the new way. The new way. So let me tell you, folks, when you hear, you know, we got a new way, I'll tell you what that means, all right? Generally, when someone's going to come up to you and tell you, hey, we got a new way to worship, that generally, you know what that means? That means very little Bible, okay? It means no controversies. It's going to mean no doctrine, few standards, all right? And I say, I'm in the age there, you know, we get this thing, we're conditioned by the marketing that goes on. This is a marketing generation in the time we're in, and it's marketing against the old, and the new is always better when you see this stuff coming in. The old is going to be always, you know, the old dust rags. It's antiquated, you know. In some cases, okay, some cases the old, that's it and stuff, but not in this case. All right, when you got some things here, Lord's talking about this rest for our soul. He's talking about seek, ask for the old paths, all right? Folks, the new worship styles, you know what they include? They're going to include the new Bibles, the new music, the new worship. You know, it means those things like that. When you hear someone say, we have a new style of worship, there's some things that ought to come to your mind. I hope they come to your mind. They give you this when someone says, hey, you know, we've got the new style of worship. Can I tell you one thing that'll come to your mind is the word flesh. Flesh. You say, because I'm saying most often, all right, the mega churches, what they're going to do is appeal to the flesh. What they're going to do, how do they do that? They're going to upbeat the music to appeal to the flesh. And I'm going to tell you, folks, okay, I get on that kind of stuff, and I'm not saying that everyone in a mega church is lost, and that no one loves Jesus, okay, and maybe something like that. But I'm telling you this, you got to understand that they must aim, folks, they must aim their music and their service to the flesh. And what they're going to do, folks, is they're going to have to take it easy on folks' flesh. They're not going to preach hard on sin. See? They're going to take it easy on them, folks. That's the new thing that's going to... They want to make you feel good all the time. That's how you can think of flesh. Something else you can think of here is the word fads. Fads. The fads coming in. Bible preaching, man. Bible preaching from the old black book right here, folks, is not a fad. And it's been around, folks, since the Bible's been around, that thing. Reading a Bible, you know, from the book. You know, how about, you know, singing music from a songbook? It's not just the screen you got up there with the bouncing ball following stuff like that, like a fad. Though these things are not fads. But that stuff that they got today, folks, they're just having fads coming up in here. Something else I'm going to say then, and this thing is frauds. Frauds. You ever hear that word? When you think of new worship style and churches, mega churches and stuff like that, I'm going to say that thing right there because many times what they're offering you, folks, is not going to help you at all. It doesn't help you. They claim to be able to, you know, promise you some things and stuff, but hey, it don't come through. It's going to jack you up with the music. You know, you're in there. And I'll tell you this, you sure can be entertained. I'm not kidding you, man. I had some folks tell me they went to these, you know, one of these big churches, and, you know, on the stage there, they bring in, you know, the Harleys, and they do, you know, trying to entertain folks with, I don't know, gladiator or whatever kinds of stuff on that kind of entertainment. But you don't leave something like that, folks, any better than you came. All right? I mean, you might feel good about yourself, but you sure don't get fed spiritually. I'm talking about something spiritual that's going to feed your soul and help you. We're talking about the old, all right? He says old. What's going to find rest for your soul? It's old. The Bible says you need to seek, folks, after the old paths if you want rest, right? That's what he said on there. I mean, so what do you do? Hey, how about hanging out with the oldies? Amen. And I'm not talking about the golden oldies, right? Folks rocking around, stuff like that, you know. You got some stability in this church. I mean, I see right tonight, folks, you got some elderly men, some men in here. Folks, you hang out with the oldies, man. You get close to them. You're talking about rest for your soul. They've been through some things, through some storms, and I'll tell you what, they've got something on that thing. If you want rest for your souls, right? If you want rest from your guilt, if you want rest from your sins, if you want rest from your fears, hey, you got to get what thing here he says is the old. Hang, yeah, that old right there. Now I understand, folks, that he's talking about you're not going back when he says those old ways to like the horse and buggy. All right? I mean, I like cars. I like Dairy Queen. I like going through there and getting an ice cream, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I like food quickly sometimes if I want stuff like that. He's not suggesting give up everything that's new, all right? Now listen, the Lord Jesus Christ brought some new things in, thank God, didn't he? He sure did, the New Testament. Right, we got that right there. He's not saying everything that is old is good and everything that is new is evil. I'm not going to go that far on that guy. We have a new and living way. Thank God, amen on that. So he didn't say throw out everything that's new in there, but listen, he said, you pay attention to this, ask for the old paths. And he's connecting that thing with rest for your souls. And you know what? You're not going to improve on some of them. You're talking about those old path Bible ways. You're talking about, you know, repentance for sins and preaching the book and confessing your sins, not to men and stuff like that, but to God. Those old things, you don't find, you ain't going to find these better ways improving on that stuff. That just ain't going to happen, right? On that thing, rest for your souls, right? And so you better watch out and beware when someone may come up to you and, you know, tell you, you know, you can seek Jesus in the new way and you can get a hold of him and that kind of stuff. Well, I just say, you know what, no thank you. I'll seek the old. I'm just kind of stuck that way, I guess, amen. And then secondly, there's another word there in Jeremiah 16, 6:16, right? And it's linked with rest for your souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says, where is the good way? So I mentioned here the old. I'm going to look at the good. All right, so there's something old, and then he says there's something good. Rest is linked with the Lord Jesus Christ and that which is good. That which is good. And I want you to know that that is a good way. Right? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know, folks, what is good if you want rest. We are in a mixed up generation today. They do not know, really, honestly, what is good. Okay? And I think you can't take something that's corrupt or something that's evil and get that thing to come out for rest for your souls. Right? On that thing. You gotta take what's old and you gotta take what's good. According to the book. What he says right there, right? You wanna know, folks. You need to realize and see that there is an all-out attack, isn't there, on that which is good? There is an attack on that which is good. I'm going to say a good way is God's way. A good way is the Lord Jesus Christ's way. And a good way is the Bible way. Well, I found all those things, I've only been around a little over 60 years, and I tell you what, those things have sure been a help to me. And a rest to me, all right? And that thing right there. Now, I'm going to say this, okay? When you bring that out again, the world and some folks that are like in that spirit of this world, you know what? They're going to call it something else. They're going to say, the Bible and God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all unscientific. Anybody ever tell you that? That's uneducated. That's bigoted. That's bigoted if you believe those ways right there. If you believe the Bible, it's just going to make you judgmental. Right? I mean, honestly, in short to them, you know what? The good way is evil. The good way is evil. So what you're going to think of that thing there is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And I think the Lord, he sure knew what was going to be taking place and how much more and more we get into that thing right there. So they're going to tell you, you'll run into it, right? They're going to tell you that the God of the Bible is not good. They'll tell you that God of the Bible, he didn't create the world, right? Evolution is true. That's the way they run that thing. And if God did create the world, why did he make evil? Why did he allow sin and death, okay? I mean, those aren't good, right? And you sure know that the Lord Jesus Christ was queer, don't you? Yeah, you know that he was an adulterer, don't you? Now, that's the world. That's what they're going to tell you, right? And for you to say that there's only one way to heaven, boy, you messed up. That's not good, right? And, I mean, you better get the thing straight. You know what? Muhammad was a good fella. He may have been a pedophile. He may have been a little bit crazy and adulterer and stuff like that, but boy, he was good, right? Then you get into the part of the Hollywood, all right, and all that kind of stuff. You know their attitude is? It's the immoral that's good, right? That's the way they look at it. Or even better, it's the amoral, right? Now, that's the way they want you to look at that thing right there, okay? So listen, folks, all that kind of stuff is opposite of what the Bible tells you, all right? This thing, if you want to find rest for your souls, man, I wish the young folks today could get a hold of that thing right there today that, universities and colleges and schools and stuff, what they're looking for is they're getting all the wrong stuff. This rest for the soul is linked to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to find something old, and you better be able to decide what is good and what is evil according to the Bible, right? That's where you're going to get that thing. Because he said, ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way? Now, I'm going to tell you again here, God is good. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is good. His book is good. You realize in Genesis chapter 1, you get in the very start of that thing right there, six times God said, it is good. It is good, and it's good, and it's good, and it's good, and it's good. Six times, right? You go into chapter 2, right? You find there, he said, it is not good that the man should be alone. You know what that is? Honestly, you know what? God is looking out for your good. Isn't he? Hasn't God always been looking out for your good? He sure has, man. I'll tell you, for me, he says this. He says, you're to fear him for your good. That's something for your good. That's for my good right there. And I tell you, if you want to have rest, two things, make sure you watch out for, okay? Number one is those who call evil good and good evil, and those who are always telling you to come to this new way of getting to God. Because I'll tell you, there are only two places you're going to find rest in the scriptures there. One's connected with good, and one's connected to the old. All right? All that other kind of stuff, you better just pass that by and keep on with the book. Now, third, here's the last point. Going to be quick here, all right? The other here is connected with Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And it's that word yoke. All right, so there's old, there's good, and then there's this yoke. And these two verses in the entire Bible, when you're talking about finding a place, a rest for your souls, those are some important words right there. A yoke is necessary for rest unto your soul. It's an old thing. A yoke, isn't it? Most folks won't even know what a yoke is unless they go to Cracker Barrel. You go up there and find it hanging on the wall. Whoa, what's that thing? That's a yoke. You know, what's a yoke on that thing right there, right? I'll tell you, it's not been that long ago. I don't think they had a lot of farmers. Maybe some of them still use that stuff right there on that. But, the farmers had those, right? It's old, folks, and it's good. Amen. A single yoke was shaped like a pear, I believe you're getting that. And they put it around that ox or that horse or a donkey. And they put it over their shoulders. And you know why? So it could pull a load. It'd pull a wagon, pull a plow on that kind of thing. But when you talk about a yoke, you know what you're getting into. It is an instrument of subjugation. I'm going to say that word, right? Subjugation. Right? When someone is under a yoke, if you're a person under a yoke, you know what? You're a servant or you're a slave. Now, you're talking about that thing right there. Say, what does it do? It brings you under control. And man, I'll tell you, folks don't want to hear that. That's not good. Well, it is good. Folks, it is good here. According to these things right here, it brings you in control. And I tell you what, you need to look when we're talking about this thing for the good, for the old way, and you want to find rest for your souls, you're going to have to yoke up and put that on, right? The yoke he's talking about here. Now, that's going to mean a certain degree of subjugation, like I said, and that stuff today is not accepted in the majority of churches. I just thank the Lord, folks. I got saved in the church I'm pastoring right now. And that little old church, you know, it started as a Southern Baptist, all right? They had a lot of Southern folks come up north here to get some jobs at the steel mills, you know. And they come up and they had a group of, you know, Bible-believing Baptists come up here, and they just started that little church there. And, that's my grandmother went to that church right there. And that little church right there, they were just old-fashioned and Southern and, you know, preaching the Word, and that's where I heard the gospel. And I thank God for that church right there, because their anthem, I mean, their main thing wasn't, we want to get bigger, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. That wasn't the anthem of those churches, folks. I didn't say anything on that, you know, what you're talking about. Trying to let the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. Let him be lifted up on that thing. The anthem of these churches today that you're looking at today, that their theme is bigger, bigger. And we have to have liberty. Liberty's going to be king there. It's nothing about servitude. They're not going to tell you ought to be a servant. little standards, no restrictions. It's all freedom. It's like the hippies of the 60s. And now listen, I try to understand, get a little bit about liberty. Thank God we are in liberty. Take your Bibles and look at Galatians chapter 5. All right, I'll show you something here about that. I mean, yes, thank God we have liberty. Amen. But look in Galatians chapter 5, okay, and here's Paul. And he just makes that thing pretty plain, right? Verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's talking about the law going on down through here. Thank God when you got saved, he made you free. You got liberty. You're not under bondage underneath the law anymore. Thank God. I don't tell our folks at the church, you know what? you got to be circumcised. You got to keep the Sabbath day. You better look out for them new moons and stuff like that. No, you got liberty. And I appreciate them coming to church. I appreciate them tithing. And those are all matters now, folks, of your heart. Right? And you do things because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You come here because you love Him. You want God to speak to you. You want to get those things like that. But notice, you got to go a little bit further. Notice what he says, verse 13, when you're talking about this liberty, right? For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You ever done that? He says, don't do it. You got liberty, but I'm not going to use that liberty just to please my stinking flesh. And what else? But by love, serve. Serve one another. Well, what's that? That liberty? You're serving someone else? By love, serving one another? Connected with that liberty thing right there? And Matthew 11, 28 through 30, you got the promise for rest. Folks, it goes right along with Jeremiah 6, the old, the good. And this yoke he's talking about here. My yoke is easy. That's Christ's yoke he's talking about. What is that? He said, take my yoke and learn of me. Now I tell you, that thing right there, folks, is a lost thing from preaching today, folks, from Christians today, is talking about learning of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, verse 25, you look into that thing there in Matthew 11, God has hid some things from the wise and prudent, and He's revealed some things unto the babes. He's revealed some things unto the babes. That yoke about Christ, can I tell you, is learning about Him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A yoke is not the same as a cross. Okay, you're told to take up your cross. A cross is self-denial. Look at Matthew 16. And Matthew chapter 16, now look there at verse 24. Notice what he says. You can see the difference on this, right? Jesus said unto his disciples, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So that cross, what's that cross? It is self-denial. Let him deny himself, right? That cross of Christ. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ calls us? Folks, He calls us to bear that cross. And what is that? Deny yourself, right? You're called to love, and I'm called to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than I love my parents. You're called to love Him more than you love your spouse. You're called to love Him more than you love your children. You're called to love Him more than you love yourself. That, folks, that is some denial, right? That's some things on there. Yet the yoke of Christ... This yoke, it gives you rest. It's learning and knowing Him. Jesus said, Matthew 11, 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right? So if you want to find rest, I'm going to give you something here. Don't forget this thing right here. You're going to have to do what most Christians have not done and are not doing. Right? You're going to have to learn something about your Savior. Right? You know what, folks? You're coming here tonight, and you know I'm preaching to the choir, right? You folks are coming. You want to learn something about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? You're coming to get something about the Lord, and I tell you that Christians today, they don't want to do it, right? They're going to stay home on Wednesday nights. They're going to stay home on Sunday nights. They're going to stay home, when they could be out and coming to church and maybe getting some preaching and stuff like that. Folks, that is something that, man, I tell you what folks miss out on. You're missing out something about your Savior. Right? I think about that, man. It is a blessing to come and have someone preach and teach from the Word of God who believes the thing, and get something there about Him. Folks, today, on most of these places, it is to get entertained, okay? It's where, I just watch the fog come in and the lights rolling around and stuff like that and feel good, but they don't learn anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to doctrine, folks, that is out. That is out today. You are really blessed to have your pastor. Brother Hoffman, man, I'll tell you, you talk about doctrine and laying that thing out and the way, he puts that thing out, man. You've been thanking God, amen, on that kind of stuff. But folks, they look at that, it's old. And sometimes it's boring. Well, can I tell you something? You can't know the Lord Jesus Christ without doctrine. You ain't good knocking. If I come up to you and I say, you know what, and the first time I've ever met you, right? And I go, well, you know what, I know a lot about you and all that kind of stuff. You'd look at me and you say, you're lying. You don't know me from that. We just met, right, on that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, you cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ without knowing something about him? All right? We're talking about knowing something, what the Bible says. And you getting in that book. And you learning about your Savior. And you getting his yoke on that thing to give you some rest. It's an easy yoke. You're called to bear it anytime, any place, anywhere. Folks, it's not slavery. It's not bondage. Can I tell you, it is a yoke of learning. Right? And that gives you rest. It gives you some rest. Why? Well, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? That'll give you some rest. You know, when that guy, when somebody's trying messed up, kind of twists some things there, and you know, well, you know what, that just ain't right. I know what the book says. I know it's right over here. He's talking to them over there for that, or he's talking to me right here on that. That thing, that stuff will give you rest, folks. Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All these folks getting offended about this, and offended he said this, and offended there, they don't know the book. Right? All that kind of stuff on there. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his delight doth he meditate day and night. All right? So there's some things there, right? There's just some easy things. First is old. Get the old paths, right? Get the good way. That's the good way in that book right there, folks, and that yoke right there. Look to the old, the good, and take the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that'll give you some rest, knowing more about him. Amen. All right, just some simple things. Let's pray. Amen. Father, sure, thank you for your mercies tonight. Thank you for these folks coming out. I pray that might have been a help. Something there, Lord, might strengthen them. Something there might just help them along the way here, Lord. And many oftentimes, Lord, we look for a new way. And we think this thing that I'm doing now is just, I mean, coming to church, you know, every Sunday morning, night, and midweek service here, Lord God. What is that? But folks, Lord, that is something important that you said for us to get rest for our souls and to learn of you. And we thank you for the book. We thank you that it is pure. And Lord, we pray that you just open our eyes, give us understanding more of it, more of you. And I thank you again for these things. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 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 All right, folks, God bless you.